National Public Radio presents a production of the Hollywood Theater of the Year, 2000X. A radio series devoted to stories of the next millennia. Now, here is your host, the award-winning writer and critic, Harlan Ellison.
As the 20th century blossomed, such dreamer writers as H.G. Wells put their faith, their hope, their trust, their innocence in the promises of the new science. E.M. Forster, 1909, disagreed. Listen now and shiver as the machine stops.
I am the book. A survival from the age of litter. I am the book of the machine. In me is the history of our civilization. The biography of every person and event regarded by the machine as having happened. In me are the instructions against every possible contingency. Anyone too cold, anyone too hot, anyone at a loss for a word or comfort or advice, come to me. I have all the instructions. I tell what button to press. There are buttons for food, for clothing, for literature, for music.
Music, yes, music. Quiet, undistracting. Now.
Music is supplied automatically according to the mood or wishes of the occupants as are medical services and therapy. There is an armchair in the center of each room. By its right side, a reading desk with a lighted panel of buttons.
Ah, book of the machine, Liber Machina. Some sort of scent?
Try ancient flower, button 143.
Ancient flower, 143.
Just the feel and pressing of the button rouses ecstasy. The sound of immediate satiation fills everyone with the most delicious of all feelings. The touch of the small round shape and the feel of pressure and the joy in anticipation of what it would immediately...
Oh, I must prepare my lecture.
Reveal.
I need ideas. Ideas! There must be an idea, let me think.
Madame Vashti, about 5 feet high, with a face as white as fungus. She has no hair. This is her room. She seldom leaves it. It is a small room, identical to all the others, hexagonal in shape, like the cell of a bee. Though it contains nothing, it is in touch with everything she cares for in the world.
Yes, in music, all ideas are disguised and preserved. That's an idea.
She is busy with a list of ideas for her morning lectures. Madame Vashti is a scholar. She specializes in ancient history and dead languages. She sits in her armchair, a swaddled lump of flesh. It is the communiphone, Madame Vashti.
Stop the music. I suppose I must see who it is. Communiphone over here.
Button 12.
Button 12. So disconcerting. My lecture has been interrupted all morning. Who is it?
Mother?
Cuno? Cuno, dear. Now, hold on a minute. Illumination?
Illumination is on, Madame Vashti.
Off, off!
Button 26B.
Very well, Cuno. I can give you 5 minutes. My lecture is at 10.
Mother?
Be quick, Cuno. I'm here in the dark. I can't see you.
Button 42A for virtual, Madame Vashti.
Oh. Cuno, you're all blue.
Mother.
Now you're all purple. Ah. There you are. What's the matter, Cuno? You look terrible.
I want you to come to see me.
What? Go halfway around the world?
I want you to come to see me.
But I can see you. You're right here, practically. What more do you want?
I want you to see me directly.
Direct experience is intolerable to me.
But I don't want to see you through the bothersome machine.
Cuno, you mustn't say anything against the machine.
One mustn't? Why not?
Because the machine is godly, blessed.
Do you pray to it?
Of course I pray to it.
But God didn't make the machine. Men made it.
Indeed. But great men.
But men, the machine isn't everything.
I must get to my lecture.
Mother, what I see through the machine is like you, but it isn't you. There's something not there. That's why I want you to come to me. I want to tell you what's on my mind.
What's on your mind?
Come and I'll tell you.
Why don't you come to see me?
I can't leave here.
Why?
Because at any moment something tremendous may happen.
What?
I won't tell you through the machine.
Book. Book.
Madame Vashti?
Mother...
Isolate.
Button 40A.
But mother...
My lecture. I'm ready.
Button 50 for transmission.
My dear friends, man is not the measure of all things in the age of the machine.
Madame Vashti once again inspired her audience. She presented a critique of human strength in the age of the machine.
Every child is examined at birth, and all who are possessed of a certain physical strength are destroyed. This is a humanitarian act.
Her listeners hear and watch their screams in their isolated rooms. There are no lecture halls, but it was discovered that the ancient atmosphere of a gathering has a comforting effect on the listeners.
Athletes would never be happy with the state of life to which the machine calls them. No trees to climb, no races to run, no rivers to swim. The machine can progress only if the strong are eliminated.
Each listener can press a response button for approval or disapproval. The applause button contributes one clap for each press.
We must pay serious attention to the words of the machine. Fitness is not for the fit. Blessed be the machine. Book?
Madam?
Reconnect, my son.
Button 72.
72. Kuno.
Mother?
You don't understand, Kuno. I need to get many ideas each day for my lectures.
The airship takes only a few hours.
I dislike airships. And there's the horrible brown earth and sea.
Can't you get ideas from the sea?
Not from the real sea.
Take the night ship.
I dislike the stars. They give me no ideas either.
I get all my ideas from the stars.
What kind of ideas do the stars give you?
Do you know the four big stars that form an oblong? And the three stars close together in the middle, and hanging from these stars, three other stars?
You say they give you an idea? How interesting. What idea do they give you?
That they are like a man.
I don't understand.
The four big stars are the man's shoulders and knees. The three stars in the middle are like a belt that men used to wear, and the three hanging stars are like a sword.
A sword?
Men used to carry them about to kill animals and other men.
Kuno. It doesn't strike me as a very good idea, but it is original. When did it first come to you?
In the airship. Mother...
What's the matter, Kuno? You sound strange.
Can't you see?
Well, you sound sad, but you don't look sad.
How do I look, Mother?
I can't be sure. You know that. The machine doesn't transmit nuances of expression. It gives only general ideas of people, of anything. Are you really sad?
Sadness isn't a general idea.
Oh, Kuno, don't philosophize. A general idea is one that is good enough for all practical purposes. What else is there?
It is the actual essence of discourse, Madame Vashti.
It's the actual essence of discourse. It says so in the book.
I'm planning to visit the surface of the Earth.
The surface of the Earth? You're mad.
I want to see those stars again, as our ancestors did thousands of years ago. What is the harm?
There's no harm, Kuno, but no advantage. The surface of the Earth is only dust and ice. No life remains on it. Furthermore, you would need a respirator or the cold air would kill you instantly.
I know all about that. I have a respirator.
Kuno, you are brave and courageous, but I wish to dissuade you from this expedition.
The machine would not approve?
Exactly.
Oh, Mother.
Kuno, you are fading.
Come to me. Mother... I will not talk to you until you come.
Kuno, I don't have the time. Kuno!
He has isolated, Madame Vashti.
Just as well. I have to receive my calls.
Have you time for your morning bath, madam?
Yes, yes, I know the button. I'm very disconcerted by Kuno. What ideas? A man in the stars, what can he mean?
It is an ancient myth, Madame Vashti.
How ancient?
Ancient Greece. Your son is referring to the constellation of Orion, a handsome giant and a mighty hunter.
Greek?
Supposedly. He was the son of a god, Neptune. A goddess, Diana, fell in love with him, but accidentally shot him dead with an arrow. Then she placed him among the stars.
Visibly?
As stars.
Were the stars not already there?
Not those particular ones, Madame Vashti, or so it was believed.
Oh, that's interesting, but not exactly an idea. How long before the Greeks were their gods?
Long before, it was presumed.
And the stars came before the gods?
It is a very ancient idea, Madame Vashti. The book only contains information good enough for practical purposes.
Juno should have consulted you before having an idea about the stars. Ah, lieber. I think I'll take my calls.
You have 8 callers waiting, Madame Vashti.
Very good. Put them on, then.
Madame Vashti, we have been advised that dietary changes are at hand. Have you tasted the new foods yet? What are they like?
Horrible. Inedible. It must have been some mistake. The mending machine has been alerted.
Madame Vashti, what new ideas do you have for your next lecture?
Well, I have just been told that 4 stars and 3 in the middle resembles a man. It isn't a new idea. It is believed to be of ancient Greek origin, but I expect that it is ancient Celtic and involves an Irish farmer called Orion. It's very confusing.
Madame Vashti, may I offer an idea of my own?
Your very own? About what?
About my bed.
Yes?
It's new, but it's too large. I would like it smaller.
That is not an idea. That's a complaint, and a useless one. Beds are the same dimension all over the world. To have another size would entail vast alterations in the machine. I advise you to adjust your pillow.
A pillow came with it, and it is also too large. The machine made a mistake.
Nonsense. The machine never makes a mistake. It is incapable of misleading anyone.
But...
Oh, enough. Book.
Madam?
No more calls. Bring the dryer. I must visit my son.
You will need surface air transportation to the Northern Hemisphere.
Ah, machina. I am distressed.
Music, Madame Vashti?
Yes. Something quiet while I dress. Something mystical. Calm me, machina. He will not talk to me unless I come to see him. I have not the time. I don't want to travel.
Do you wish to review the travel procedure, Madame Vashti? The book can guide you step by step.
I gave a lecture on travel once. It is a carryover from the olden times, a misuse of our own system. They brought people to things instead of things to people. In those funny old days, people went for a change of air instead of simply changing their own air. Ah, liebe Machina.
Do you wish to add to your biographical diary, Madame Vashti?
What is written for today?
Madame Vashti made her room light, had breakfast, infused ancient flower, communiphoned with her son, Cuno.
No, no. Further on.
Madame Vashti made the room dark and had her nap. Above her and beneath her and around her, the machine hummed eternally.
Eternally?
The earth, carrying her, hummed as it sped through silence, turning her now to the invisible sun, now to the invisible stars.
Ah, the invisible stars.
Then she awoke.
Cuno? Oh, Cuno?
She became nervous and lay back in her chair.
Should I go to see him?
Presently she directed her chair to the wall. She pressed a button marked outside. The outside button is not attached to the machine, but operates on a simple hinge. The walls swing apart slowly. Through the opening she can see the passageway. It curves slightly so that its goal is not visible. Madame Vashti, there's no need for alarm.
I'm frightened.
There's nothing mysterious. See? There is the car you will summon. It will fly you down the tunnel to the airship station. The book will be with you.
I'm frightened of the tunnel. I haven't seen it since Guno was born. It had a terrible brilliant light that came from above. No.
Madame Vashti is suddenly seized with the terrors of direct experience. She shrinks back into the room and the walls close up again.
Guno, I cannot come out to see you. I am not well. I am not well.
Ah! You have summoned the medical unit, Madame Vashti.
Lie down here, Madame Vashti.
Wait!
Come on, madame.
I'm all right.
Colfax of the Forest was just an excuse not to have to go outside. I'm perfectly fine.
Let us go to the hearth.
This will calm you, Madame Vashti. Just take the tube and swallow.
Readings normal. Nerves read between upset and fear.
Upset and fear stabilized for Madame Vashti. Make a note. Conclude the medical.
Oh, book of the machine.
Madame Vashti?
Must I go?
According to the book, the duties of a parent cease at birth.
Yes. All my children were removed from me to the public nurseries. There were so many.
We have the exact count, Madame Vashti. Their residence numbers, their accomplishments.
There was something special about Cuno. He often came to see me, but his visits stopped when the machine assigned him to a schoolroom on the other side of the earth.
Do you wish to visit him now?
I suppose I must brave the journey if he desires it. What did he mean something tremendous might happen?
Perhaps only the nonsense of youth.
No doubt. But I must go. The journey must be documented. There may be a few ideas I can use later.
The book remembers everything, Madame Vashti.
I suppose I'm ready. How long will it take?
The airship departs at 12 midnight from the Earth's surface. Then it is 3 hours there and 3 hours back.
Well, then, if it must be, I will open the walls for my journey.
Madame Vashti opened the walls of her room and tottered onto the platform. Her journey to the northern hemisphere had begun.
Lieber...
Madame Vashti?
Stay with me.
Always, Madame Vashti. The book of the machine is with everyone, everywhere, every minute.
Stay with me.
The book instructs against every contingency.
Stay with me, Lieber.
The book advises. The book brings comfort.
Stay with me.
The book records all your actions and ideas.
Stay with me, Lieber Machina.
The book is the story of your life. The book is the story of the machine.
Stay with me. We left the Earth?
We are exactly 1 mile above the Earth.
I refuse to look down.
It is not necessary, Madame Vashti. It is still dark. Are you comfortable?
I am miserable.
This is your attendant welcoming you to intercontinental flight to the Northern Hemisphere. We hope your flight will be comfortable. We shall be glad to answer any questions.
I'm hungry. Where are the buttons?
Welcome aboard, Madame Vashti. A refreshment will be served in exactly 1/4 hour. Meanwhile, enjoy your complimentary beverages.
Complimentary?
It is an ancient expression.
Where are the other passengers?
In other cabins. Mostly young men sent out from the public nurseries to inhabit the rooms of those who have died in various parts of the Earth. There are few other travelers.
Why are there so few?
Thanks to the advance of science, there is no need for anyone to go anywhere. Except for mountains and seas, the Earth is exactly the same all over. Rapid transit from which previous civilizations had hoped so much ended by defeating itself.
I have an idea.
It is being recorded, Madame Vashti.
Humans no longer need to move their bodies. All unrest is concentrated in their soul.
Congratulations, Madame Vashti.
The other passengers wish to thank Madame Vashti for her idea.
How did they know?
Your words are directly transferred to the book. Everyone listens to their own copy.
Well, just so long as we do not have to face each other. It is utterly disgraceful to have to actually face anyone.
The machine protects everyone from facing anyone.
Must I actually face my own son?
The book advises against actual impressions. The communiphone has already given you all that is practical to know.
He spoke of nuances. What can he mean by nuances?
Unnecessary and unpractical details of future, Madame Vashti.
Is sadness unpractical?
We are currently flying across the island of Sumatra. However, nothing can be seen until sunrise, at which time we will be flying over the ancient land of India.
Why are there so many windows?
The airship is very old, Madame Vashti. When they were built, the desire to look at things directly still lingered in the world. There were many windows and skylights.
Well, they are great discomfort to all of us who are civilized and refined. Now that we live underground, there is no need for windows. Are we to travel in the dark?
Very briefly. We are traveling west and the earth is traveling east. There will be sunlight in approximately 10 minutes.
In ancient times, the aim was to keep pace with the sun, even to outpace it. Great airships capable of enormous speed were built for that purpose. Round the globe they went westward in vain. The globe went eastward quicker still. There were horrible accidents until the committee of the machine rose to prominence and declared that the pursuit was illegal, unmechanical, and punishable by homelessness.
Homelessness? That is a vulgar word. It upsets me to hear it.
A musical interlude will calm you, Madame Vashti.
Yes. Yes. Well, the committee was right to punish people for trying to defeat the sun.
Thereafter, the human race ceased to consider a power outside the world. The sun had conquered, but it was the end of its spiritual dominion. Science retreated into the ground to concentrate on problems that were able to be solved.
Homelessness. Oh, Lieber. Continue with my biography.
And so, Madame Vashti journeyed by airship to visit her son. The trip was frightening to her. One incident in particular.
Is there some sort of light outside?
It is the sun rising, Madame Vashti.
It is most disturbing.
I will come to your cabin to adjust the blind.
There is a ray of light approaching my face! Are there no buttons?
I'm here to assist you, Madame Vashti.
It will touch my face!
I will close the blind. Pardon my reach.
Ah! Barbarian, you touched me! How dare you!
Oh, madam, do please forgive me. We are unaccustomed to facing passengers directly.
People never touch one another. The custom is obsolete. The machine has spared us from such vulgarity. Where are we now?
We are over Asia.
Asia!
My apology for using the ancient name.
I know Asia. The Mongols came from there.
If I raise the blinds just a little, you can see the Himalayas. They used to be called the roof of the world.
A very misleading idea. Cover the window!
Yes, Madame Vashti.
Book! Continue with my journey.
Madame Vashti slept for half an hour, then awoke and took a second glance at the earth. Out of her window, she saw a vast network of other airships crisscrossing from the southern hemisphere to the northern, from east to west.
Why are there so many when there are so few travelers?
The airships are a relic from a former age, Madame Vashti. There was much traveling then.
But in our age, they must exceed the wants of the population.
That is correct. Most of them travel their ancient routes empty.
I will protest to the Central Committee.
They have long been protested. They are kept up because it has been proven easier than to stop them.
Well, I will lecture on this idea.
Madame Vashti then took another glance at the Earth. The ship was passing a golden sea in which lay the many small islands of Greece.
They believed that their gods and heroes were stars.
There are no other events of the journey important enough to be made record of. At the depot of the Northern Hemisphere, Madame Vashti reversed all the exact steps of her departure from depot to elevator to transporter, and soon arrived at the walls of her son's room, which exactly resembled her own.
Mother!
Cuno, this visit has been superfluous. Your room exactly resembles my own.
Was the journey comfortable?
It was a most terrible journey and greatly retarded the development of my soul.
Did you see the sky?
The sunlight almost touched me. And I met with some of the rudest people. I can stop only for a few minutes. Say what you want to say, and then I must return.
I have been threatened with homelessness.
You have been threatened?
With homelessness. I couldn't tell you through the machine.
Homelessness means death. The victim is exposed to the air without a respirator. It kills him instantly. What did you do?
I have been outside since I talked with you. I had a respirator.
Well, it's perfectly legal to go outside with an aggression permit. Did you have an aggression permit?
No.
Well, then how did you get out?
I found a way of my own.
A way of your own? That phrase conveys no meaning to me. What kind of a way is a way of your own?
I discovered a way to the surface.
In other words, you have violated the machine.
That's what the committee said when they threatened me with homelessness.
And they are right. You have done wrong. I'm shocked.
You worship the machine and think me irreligious?
I worship nothing. I am most advanced. I don't think you irreligious, for there is no such thing as religion left. Fear and superstitions have been destroyed by the machine.
Well, I got out.
Through the exit chambers? Without a permit?
On my own 2 feet.
That much strength is strictly forbidden, and the machine is right.
Wrong. I have the strength. I exercise to strengthen my arms for the climb. I remember the ventilator shafts for the workmen built in the days when men still breathed the outer air. They must have been concealed behind the walls of the uppermost level. I searched for them.
Don't talk of these terrible things. You make me miserable.
There is no mention in the book of ventilation shafts, Madame Vashti.
Ancient ventilation shafts do not, for all practical purposes, exist.
But I found them. Through a crack in the wall tiles on the upper level. Cracks missed by the mending machine. Tiny cracks that I could widen by my strength.
Strength? Strength for which the committee refused your paternity request?
Following an exacting review, the committee found your son not a type from which the machine could foresee genetically practical offspring.
You are genetically unpractical.
Indeed, and I refuse the machine. I repeat it to myself, man is the measure.
The machine measures all things.
No, my feet measure distance, my hands measure ownership. My body measures all that is lovable and desirable.
He's mad!
No, Madame Vashti, he is only imagining. All recorded dreams and illusions are later edited for consistency with the machine.
But listen. I measured my way through the darkness and found the metal ladder.
I do not like this illusion. I will not enter it.
I held onto my respirator and measured my way up through the darkness. And worse, through the silence.
Silence? What is silence?
Strictly speaking, there is no silence. The machine hums constantly without being heard.
The machine hums without being heard?
Yes. It penetrates our blood and may even guard our thoughts. Who knows?
Oh, lieber Machine, bless us and save us and hear our prayer.
But as I climbed into the darkness, I felt I was getting beyond its power. From above, spirits of the dead were comforting me. I felt that for the first time a protest was being made against corruption. And I was comforting the unborn.
Book.
Madame Vashti?
Music.
The music of the book does not penetrate into such illusions.
Stop, Cuno!
I felt that humanity existed outside, naked and homeless.
Stop him!
His blasphemies will be safely edited in the book.
Had I really been strong, I would have torn off every garment and risen naked into the world above.
He is fated. If he does not die today, he will die tomorrow. There is no room for such a person in this world.
The voices guided and strengthened me. I reached one of those huge stoppers that defend us from the outer air. The voices told me to leap and grab the handle in the center. I leapt, and my weight set something in motion. I was propelled out in a flood of air like a fountain, and so landed in a small hollow of earth. It was dark. I felt the hands of those who had broken my fall.
Hands? What hands?
The hands that set me in the grass and ferns that surrounded the hold.
He is hallucinating. Let him continue.
The new air was too bitter for me. I had to remain in the hollow where it gradually mixed with the air from below. My respirator was gone. I lay, looking at the night sky. I felt that a man of my sort lived up there, in the stars.
Of your sort?
Oh, Mother, I know that all this is of no interest to you.
Go on. Nothing you can say can distress me now.
There are no ideas for you in my story. You're too different, Mother.
You have called me across the world to hear your story, and hear it I will. Tell me how you returned to civilization.
We know all the rest from a report by the mending machine.
Ah, yes. The long white worms of the mender returned me to civilization.
It is sacrilegious to refer to our mending machine as a worm.
I heard their approach from below just before the morning sun rose. They mended the hole, then reached out to find me. They attacked those who had received me. I heard their screams as the worms tore at them. I tried to escape by crawling to the rim of the hollow. The dim shapes of the others were running for safety, but beyond them... Oh, Mother! Green hills! That not the brown hills you see through the machine, but living hills that have called to men of the past and had been loved. They converse now with those of us below only in dreams. Then the menders reached me. I felt their tentacles around my legs and their grip as they dragged me back down into the machine.
Enough, Kyono. This will end in homelessness for you.
That is my wish, Mother.
And it is my wish to return to my own room immediately.
Can't you see, Mother? We are dying. The machine is the only thing that lives down here.
The machine has been merciful.
It has robbed us of our sense of space and touch. It has blurred every human relation.
Book!
Madame Vashti?
It has paralyzed our bodies and our wills, and now it compels us to worship it.
Music!
And if it could work without us, it would let us die.
Louder! Let music wipe out the memory of this hour. Kuno goes to his fate. Take me back to my room. Surround me with music.
Mother!
The book is with you, Madame Vashti. All is ready.
The machine will stop!
What is he saying?
The machine will stop, Mother!
What does he mean?
In a moment, Beyond 2000 will return with the conclusion of E.M. Forster's The Machine Stops. This is NPR, National Public Radio.
Local underwriting is provided by European Sleepworks, the Berkeley store that offers individually adjusting mattresses in the European style and bedroom furniture in a variety of styles and hardwoods. More details are on the web at sleepworks.com. We'll return to NPR Playhouse in a moment.
Forget about the war. The big news this week, Michael Jackson's first new original album in 10 years. Can he recapture the magic of Thriller and Bad? Will he retain his crown as king of pop? And how do you sing when your cheeks are as tight as a Marine Corps band drumhead? I'm Peter Sagal. We are claiming our place as the king of public radio news quizzes on this week's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from National Public Radio.
You can hear Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me at 10 o'clock. This is KQED Public Radio, 88.5 FM in San Francisco.
Have you missed programs in the 2000X series? Would you like to have your own copies? Well, you can now find 2000X and other fine NPR programs on the World Wide Web. I'll give you the Internet address at the end of today's program so that you may have pencil and paper handy. For now, here once again is your host, Harlan Ellison.
And now, the conclusion of The Machine Stops.
During the years that followed, Madame Vashti went peacefully forward. She made her room dark and slept. She awoke and made her room light. She lectured and exchanged ideas and believed she was growing more spiritual. In the machine, two important developments took place. First, the abolition of respirators. Madame Vashti had ideas on this matter, to which she devoted a series of lectures.
I have always held it foolish to visit the surface of the earth. The habit is vulgar and has no connection with habits that really matter.
But, Madame Vashti, what about scholars who need first-hand information about the earth's surface?
First-hand ideas? Oh, dear. Beware of them. They do not exist. They are but physical impressions produced by fear or love. Let your ideas be far removed from the corruption of direct observation. If you wish to study history, learn what one historian thought about what a former historian said. Thus, the idea of the past will be practical and profitable in your daily lives. One authority exists to counteract another. Be sure there are many and varied. In time, there will come a generation that has got beyond facts, beyond impressions, beyond the distortion of personality. History is what would have happened through the eyes of the machine. Terrestrial facts must be ignored. Therefore, the abolition of respirators is a victory, a positive gain.
The second great development was the reestablishment of religion. Those who long worshipped silently now began to speak.
When I touch the book of the machine, a strange feeling of peace comes over me.
I repeat the numerals in times of distress.
I touch the buttons and a feeling of ecstasy comes over me.
The machine feeds us.
The machine clothes us.
The machine houses us.
Through the machine, we speak to one another.
We see one another.
The machine is the friend of ideas.
The machine is the enemy of superstition.
The machine is omnipotent.
The machine is eternal.
Blessed is the machine. Blessed is the machine. Blessed is.
In undenominational mechanism, we avoid the word religion. The machine, in theory, is still the creation of man. But in practice, we worship it as divine. To transgress is to live in danger of homelessness. Book.
Madame Vashti?
That was very slight applause.
The applause mechanism may have a slight defect. I'm sure your listeners were pleased.
The defect has a strange effect. I'm depressed. I put hours of research into that lecture. Music. What's that? I require uplift. My lecture was a disaster. I shall request euthanasia.
The machine would not honor your request, Madame Ashton.
Why?
There have been no recent births. The death rate is not permitted to exceed the birth rate.
What's wrong with the music? What's wrong with everything?
The troubles began quietly, long before Madame Vashti was conscious of them.
I'll take the message.
It is your son, Cuno.
Cuno? I refuse to look at him.
He has been transferred, Madame Vashti.
Transferred? Where? I thought he was dead.
He will not visualize himself on the screen.
In that case, put him through. I'll hear what he has to say.
Mother?
Where are you, Cuno?
I've been transferred.
I know that. Where are you?
In the southern hemisphere.
Here?
Near you.
Do not expect me to visit you.
I do not expect that.
Why are you talking to me?
There is danger.
Only to fools like you. To us, there is progress.
Progress? Only the machine progresses.
We serve the machine. It serves us.
Service, Mother? You yield to some invincible pressure, and when the machine is gratified, some new pressure, equally invincible, is put upon you. It is the progress of the machine.
Precisely. And we serve it with ever greater efficiency.
Precisely. With increased efficiency and with ever decreased intelligence.
Efficiency is knowing our duties.
And the better each of you know your own duties, the less you know about your neighbors. And in all the world, there is not one who understands the monster as a whole.
Enough! We fail only in bringing monsters like you into the world. Why are you talking to me?
Mother, there is danger.
What danger?
The machine is stopping.
That phrase means nothing to me, Cuno.
The machine is stopping. I know the sign.
Bye, Cuno. Book.
Madame Vashti?
What does he mean? Turn off that noise.
It is the music, Madame Vashti. It is being mended.
Get me the committee of the mending machine.
A supervisor will speak with you, button 46.
46.
This is the Committee of Amending Apparatus. I am a supervisor. What do you wish, Madame Bestai?
The music is defective. It is disfigured. It sounds like someone in pain.
We apologize, Madame Bestai. It shall be mended shortly.
Now? At once? Why should I be worried by imperfect music? I shall complain to the Central Committee.
No personal complaints are received by the Central Committee.
Then through whom am I to make my complaint?
Oh, through us.
Then I complain.
Your complaint shall be forwarded in its turn to the Central Committee.
Have there been other complaints?
The Committee of the Mending Apparatus cannot answer that question. It is non-mechanical.
Book!
Madame Vashti?
Have I any calls awaiting me?
Two.
Only two?
Madame Vashti?
Yes?
I have trouble with my music. It gets worse and worse every time I summon it.
What kind of trouble?
Oh, his voices interrupt in the middle of a symphony.
Have you complained?
Oh, yes. My complaints have been forwarded to the Central Committee.
Have patience. Blessed be the machine.
Madame Vashti?
Yes?
It's about my ideas.
Yes?
Sometimes they are interrupted by a slight jarring noise.
What kind of noise?
I don't know whether it's inside my head or inside the wall.
Complain in either case.
I have. They say that my complaint must wait its turn. Then it will be forwarded to the Central Committee.
Have patience. It will be forwarded. Blessed be the machine.
The bathwater has begun to smell.
The poetry machine has begun to emit defective rhymes.
We summoned our sleeping apparatus, and it failed to appear.
This was a more serious matter. The committee was assaulted by tired owners from Simla to Brazil when their beds failed to appear.
It is the wisdom of the machine, dear listeners. We have become too comforted. We must spark our ingenuity to find new ways to face adversity. We are not yet sufficiently adaptable to do without sleeping. Be patient, and blessed be the machine. Book.
But the discontent grew until the Committee of the Mending Apparatus came forward and allayed the panic with well-chosen words.
The Committee of the Mending Machine wishes to announce that the Mending Machine is itself in need of repair.
And, of course, considering its excellent record, everyone agreed to wait patiently for its recovery.
We must be patient. In its own good time, the mending machine will resume its duties. Meanwhile, let us do without our beds and our other little wants. I feel sure that is the wish of the machine. Book of the machine. Liebe Machina. What are we to do?
The book is with you, Madame Vashti. To the last moment of every life, the book is with everyone. The book will endure. The voices will pass on to new ages.
It has become difficult.
Do you wish to take your calls, Madame Vashti?
The air has become foul.
Patience. What matters so long as the machine goes on?
It has become difficult to read. The luminosity has become dulled. At times, I can scarcely see across the room.
Patience. To the machine, darkness and light are one.
We elderly are not grateful to the machine. Pain has reappeared amongst us.
Patience. Pray to the machine for medication.
Our medication has been delayed. We are told that death by euthanasia is out of order.
Courage. Pray to the machine. As soon as there are new births, there can be new deaths.
Has the mending machine been mended?
Patience. The mending machine...
We are pleased to announce that the mending apparatus is almost mended. New nerve centers are being developed to do the work more magnificently than ever.
Blessed is the machine.
But for the most part, panic reigned. Gradations of terror, rumors of hope. But there came a day when, without warning, the entire communication system broke down all over the world. And the world, as it was understood, and...
Silence?
The machine stops, Mother.
Q now. Where are you?
Just outside. Find the button to open the wall.
Button? Book?
Madame Vashti?
How do I open the wall?
The button is marked outside.
There is no light. I cannot see the buttons. There are 1,000 buttons. I can't press all of them.
Madame Vashti struck at the buttons in the dark with bleeding hands.
Blessed be the machine. Blessed be the machine.
While outside, the passages began to fill with people, many dying in agony from the silence. For generations, there never had been silence. Now, their ears thundered. The medical unit fell from the ceiling.
Thermometer. Thermometer.
Stethoscope to the heart.
Thermometer.
Stethoscope to the heart.
Then, accidentally, Madame Vashti pressed the outside button and the wall of her room opened. The sight of people at any time repelled Madame Vashti. Now they were dying by the hundreds and were nightmares from her worst dreams, crawling about, gasping for breath, touching each other, vanishing in the dark.
Kuno! Where are you?
Here.
She crawled toward him over the bodies of the dead.
Is there any hope, Kuno?
None for us. We touch. We hear each other, not through the machine.
But Kuno, is it true? Are there still those others on the surface of the earth?
I've seen them. Spoken with them. They're hiding in the mists and ferns until our civilization stops. Today they are homeless. Tomorrow...
Tomorrow the machine will be mended. We will all be saved.
Never.
Patience, Kuno. The machine will be mended. Someone will come. Blessed be the machine. Blessed be the machine.
As she cried out, the whole city and city after city were destroyed as the airships crashed down into their landing ports, descending and exploding gallery after gallery. And for a moment, Vashti and her son Kuno saw nations of the dead. And before they joined them, scraps of the untainted sky. I am the book of the machine.
I am the book. I am the book.
You have been listening to The Machine Stops, adapted by Eric Bauersfeld from the classic short story by E.M. Forster. And in the cast you heard David Warner as The Book, Samantha Eggar as Vashti, and Alistair Duncan as Kuno, with Gabrielle DeCure, Laura Kellogg, Melinda Peterson, Phil Proctor, and Stefan Rudnicki. Warren Dewey was recordist, and Jamie Cerniglia was our mixer. Whispering soundlessly through the dust heaps of deep space, come with us aboard the starship Omega.
Murdoch, Robert S. Logbook entry, 0600 hours, January 29th, 2127. Starship Omega proceeding on schedule. Star course, 89-J-4. Anticipated Earth touchdown, December 30th, 2127. All systems are functioning perfectly, except, of course, my own body. Onboard diagnostics indicate degeneration increasing more rapidly than anticipated. I may have only a few terrestrial days before giving out entirely. I am, therefore, stepping up the android's orientation, which I hope to complete before the sleep alarm today. End logbook entry. Android, come in here.
You called for me, sir?
Yes. Approach. Sit down. Identify yourself.
I am Robert Spencer Murdoch, Rocket Man, Star Class. I am 45 years of age and have been in space for more than half my lifetime.
What is your mission?
I am presently bound for planet Earth to visit my parents. As I promised them I would, I am going home.
Perfect. Thank you, sir. But you must say these things with more eagerness, more love.
Yes, sir.
Now, do you know who I am?
Yes, sir. You are Robert Spencer Murdoch, Rocket Man, Star Class. You are 45 years of age and have been in space for more than half your lifetime.
Not anymore.
Sir?
There can be only one Bob Murdoch from now on. You. Do you understand?
No, sir.
You and I are identical. Identical in every way. We look alike. We sound alike. We act alike. My memories have been programmed into you. I hope that I've invested you during this journey with the love I feel for my family. Only an expert medical examination could reveal that you are artificial. In only one thing do we differ. I am dying. You are not.
Dying, sir?
Running down. Becoming obsolete. Malfunctioning. I will not last this journey.
I am sorry to hear that, sir.
Can't be helped. When I die, when my biosystems finally give out, what are you to do?
I am to jettison your remains into space and take over your identity.
That is correct. What is your mission?
When I arrive on Earth, I am to proceed to the appointed rendezvous with your parents.
Your parents now.
My parents. From your messages, they know that I cannot stay more than 2 weeks. I must then return to space.
But for those 2 weeks...
I will be their son.
You are their son.
Back from the stars. I will live with them, eat with them, sleep in the back room of the house in my old room. I will talk of the far-off place I have visited, of other worlds, of the many adventures of a rocket man. I will also ask about my old friends, my neighbors, my family.
And you will love them. You will love your parents. And you will show this love in every way and at all times while you are with them.
Yes, sir.
You will keep my promise for me. My promise to return. The promise I can't keep myself.
Yes, sir.
And you will be everything they hoped you would be. You will make them proud of you.
I look forward to it, sir.
It is extremely important. It is the only reason for your existence. They are old, and space is vast. This is the last time they will see you. You must not disappoint them.
I will try very hard, sir.
They are the finest people in the universe. You have 2 weeks to make them happy. 2 weeks.
I will not fail in my mission, sir.
I know you won't, Murdoch.
Anything else, sir?
Yes, would you take over the controls? I'm going to lie down. I feel very ill. And Murdoch?
Yes, sir.
If I don't rise again, I know what to do. Thank you, Murdoch. Thank you very much.
What a perfect homecoming.
Yeah, yeah. Even the weather held out.
Wow, the whole town's here.
They sure are. Look, you know, I'm so happy for the Murdochs.
Oh, me too. I hope they're looking down from heaven and seeing what a fine man their boy Bobby has turned into.
Yeah. Well, shame about the accident.
Oh, tragic.
Well, they ought to be here.
Well, but it shows just what kind of people they were.
Oh, yeah.
And making provision like they did.
Mm-hmm.
Having the androids made just in case.
Well, they didn't want to disappoint their one and only son.
Of course not.
They promised to meet him, and they've kept their promise.
Well, the Murdochs were those kind of people. Thoughtful.
Very thoughtful.
Loving.
Extremely loving.
Even in death.
Even in death. He's so happy. Look at him.
I know.
If the Murdochs were alive, I'm sure they'd be very, very proud. He looks terrific.
Well, so do they. I mean, the android.
Yeah.
Perfect duplicate.
Absolutely perfect. And they ought to be. The Murdochs spared no expense.
Hmm. You think he'll catch on?
Bobby? Nah. He's too happy. No one in the town would ever tell, I'm sure. No. He'll never know.
You have just heard Mr. John Shuck doing yeoman service as both the astronaut and the android in Yuri Rosofsky's adaptation of William F. Nolan's short story and Miles to Go Before I Sleep. And also heard in the cast were Ira Burton and Laura Kellogg. Warren Dewey was the engineer.